the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.
You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM, offering music and talk you can't find anywhere else.
This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Robert Jones.
Tonight on Non-Human Radio, Veganism 101, a discussion of animal rights and vegan basics.
We'll also get Jeannie's vegan restaurant pick of the week and update you on upcoming animal events for the week. But first, it's time for the latest animal rights and vegan news. Over to you, Jeannie, in the KZFR Vegan Newsroom.
And here I am. This week's news is going to be an in-depth story on the Hellman's Mayonnaise Company.
Hellman's Mayonnaise. You know, I grew up on the East Coast, and I grew up with Hellman's Mayonnaise. And then I moved to California, and they changed the name to Best Mayonnaise. It was really strange.
Best foods.
It was like I was in the Twilight Zone. All of a sudden, I crossed the Great Divide, and Hellman's became Best. I don't know. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
If you don't mind. The Hellman's Mayonnaise Company recently released a vegan product named Carefully Crafted Dressing and Sandwich Spread.
Wait. Carefully Crafted Dressing and Sandwich Spread? Was that the marketing genius of Madison Avenue came up with that?
I guess they wanted to challenge the graphic designers to squeeze that many words onto a label.
Very interesting.
So, and it really says that on the label, and it's all that is a code for vegan mayonnaise. Why is that newsworthy?
Jeannie?
I will tell you. First, I have to give you some backstory on big food corporations. Hellman's, as we established, is known as Best Foods here in California. It's owned by a conglomerate called Unilever, which owns a lot of other home and healthcare products as well as food companies. We mentioned Unilever last week in our story on Ben & Jerry's vegan ice cream. Ben & Jerry's is owned by Unilever.
Wait, you mean Ben & Jerry's isn't owned by these two nice guys named Ben & Jerry?
Unilever is in the business of acquiring small, prosperous companies. So, you know, Ben & Jerry's was an investment, a very lucrative investment, I'm sure.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
Anyway, for decades, Best Foods is an old label. It's been making mayonnaise for a long time and has been vigorously defending its market share by marketing and by lawsuits ever since then. Yeah, so in 2014, we're talking about 2 years ago, Unilever sued Hampton Creek, which is a small Bay Area startup company that began manufacturing a vegan spread called Just Mayo. In the lawsuit, Best Foods accused Hampton Creek of false advertising and fraud based on the fact that the Just Mayo logo has an egg in it, although the product itself doesn't have eggs because it's vegan. Best Foods also sued on the administration's definition of mayonnaise, namely that legally mayonnaise must contain eggs.
So wait, Jeannie, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt again.
That's okay.
So the food item, the product here is called Just Mayo. And it's a vegan mayonnaise.
That's right.
And the name Just Mayo, they objected to that name.
I'm sure that the mayonnaise manufacturers found it very irritating that this vegan mayonnaise was taking their product name.
I'm with you. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. Continue,
please. That's okay.
Please.
So this lawsuit created a lot of ill will, consumer backlash, and there was a viral online petition protesting it, and a lot of pushback from the blogosphere, not just from vegan bloggers, but also from food policy bloggers who don't like seeing these big companies push their weight around. And eventually Unilever dropped the lawsuit. In the meanwhile, in my opinion, Just Mayo scored millions of dollars worth of free advertising and public relations.
Great.
So I count that as a score one for Just Mayo and zero for Unilever on that phase.
Great.
Next, the Food and Drug Administration sent a letter to Hampton Creek warning the company that Just Mayo's name was misleading because it had no eggs. Hampton Creek and the FDA eventually worked out an agreement that allowed Just Mayo to keep its name in exchange for label adjustments to make it clear that it did not contain eggs. So that's the way the FDA likes to operate as a regulatory agency. They're not in the business of shutting down business, of shutting down commerce, of shutting down profit. They would much rather work with a manufacturer so that that company can stay in business.
So Jeannie, hold on.
Yeah.
Let me get clear on this for a second. So there's a company in the Bay Area, and they develop a product called Just Mayo, and it's a vegan mayonnaise, and it has no eggs in it, but it's a vegan mayonnaise, right?
That's right. And it tastes great.
It tastes great, and it, apparently it has some kind of egg imagery on the label.
Yeah, the logo is actually a silhouette of an egg with a little seedling in the bottom, little green seedling in the bottom.
The egg, but so now Unilever, who is the parent company to Best Foods that makes mayonnaise, that bothered them, and so they sued Hampton Creek, the makers of Just Mayo, because they said you can't say it's mayo because it doesn't have an egg in it.
Correct.
But mayo is this. So here's a question: is mayo the same thing as mayonnaise?
I think it is.
Okay, so I guess you can't even call something mayo. It has to have eggs in it.
You know, the food manufacturers have their fingers, their hands, their thumbs on all sorts of regulations so that it inhibits other manufacturers who want to make alternative formulations of the same product. So non-dairy ice cream, there's ice cream makers really reject and protest when a non-dairy ice cream tries to call itself ice cream.
Gotcha.
So
that's why it's called non-dairy frozen dessert or something.
Yes, exactly.
And how about soy milk? You can't use the word milk, I think, for soy, right? Is that true?
I think that's pretty commonly accepted now. I think it's okay. A lot of the same manufacturers or producers of dairy milk have branched out and also are now making their own plant-based milk. So I think it's alleviated there.
Okay, well, let's go back to the story because I'm intrigued now where this is going.
So we left with the Food and Drug Administration settling with Just Mayo and allowing Just Mayo to continue to use that brand name and the same ingredients, and business goes on. So that's score two for Just Mayo because there was a lot of publicity involved with that FDA interaction as well.
Great.
So in the meanwhile, we'll say that Just Mayo continued to be available to consumers, not only in chains like Safeway, the 99-cent stores, and Walmart, but in food service locations like restaurants, schools, and hospitals, where it's offered as a condiment right alongside the mustard and ketchup. So there'll be like a bin on a counter. Like you get your tray of food, you go to the counter to add your condiments, mm-hmm. and there'll be the bin for...
Like the pump, like that little pump.
Exactly, the pumper. And in the middle, there'll be a pumper that has the little Just Mayo logo right in the middle. So
great.
It's just... And with no alternative egg-based mayo. So that's the only mayo there. It's
gotcha.
Brilliant. What else? Oh, yeah. So Just Mayo's also made its way into 7-Eleven. This is the Hampton Creek Just Mayo marketing plan. It distinguishes itself from other vegan food companies in this way because they're seeking to be in the regular mainstream market. They're out to change food choices at an institutional level on a long-term basis. I have to give them credit for pursuing that strategy.
And this actually going back to our story last week that you mentioned today about Ben & Jerry's coming up with a vegan ice cream. Here we have Ben & Jerry's moving into the non-specialty market. In other words, Ben & Jerry's is a health food store where you'd have to go with specialty items. So now Just Mayo is taking the same kind of approach, right? So it's not something that is a specialty. It's just going to be out there wherever you see mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup. It's just going to be Just Mayo.
Yep. We'll have to have a talk later, some other show, about how supermarkets lay themselves out and how they sell these vegan products.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the next phase of the story is that last September 2015, on the website Quartz, there was a big story where reporter Dina Shankar obtained a bunch of emails from the American Egg Board using the Freedom of Information Act. And they showed that Hampton Creek was, in fact, being targeted by...
Guess who?
The American Egg Board.
The American Egg Board.
Right. And in case you don't know, I didn't know, the American Egg Board is a semi-private marketing board which focuses on marketing and promotion of eggs for human consumption. The American Egg Board operates under the U.S. Department of Agriculture and is funded by a national legislative checkoff from egg producers. And legally, it's only allowed to promote eggs. It's not allowed to attack other businesses because that depresses commerce. The increase in commerce uncovered was a message from the, which was encouraged. Go after
the board is actually...
They certainly something what's happened looks like it was board. And then also causing the dollars. Then related shelf stable. An important fight it. People are choosing vegan products for are making inroads into the market share of big companies like Unilever. So it looks like Unilever's approach will be, if you can't beat them, join them, going back to the absurdly named product name for their vegan mayonnaise, which is the carefully crafted. They're jumping into the vegan market.
So, Jeannie, I have a question. Can you clarify something? So the American Egg Board?
Yeah.
So what's the problem with eggs? As far as we think about, when I think about an egg, I think there's a hen. The hen is alive. An egg comes out of the hen. I remove the egg from the one eggs. You're not killing anything. You're just eating the products. It's the hens are going to lay eggs anyway. And mayonnaise. What's the whole deal?
Sure. I understand that people, a lot of people think that what goes on in the egg industry yard, with their backyard, a battery cage operation, which are commonly used for egg production, where 3 to 5 hens are caged in a small space for their entire lives.
I see. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now the whole idea of the egg problem makes a lot more sense to me. Well, you know, if you're just tuning in, you are tuned into Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico, and worldwide at kzfr.org. So what do you think, Jeannie? Is that, do we have more of that story? Or?
I just want to finish off with a happy ending, and that's that Hampton Creek, the Just Mayo company.
Yes.
They reported, they're a private company, I can't get exact numbers, but they reported that their earnings in the year 2015 skyrocketed by 350%.
Great.
And they grew from 60 to 110 employees. So they must be doing something right.
Good. Well, that's good. Let's hope that Just Mayo is, wherever there's mayonnaise from now on, it's Just Mayo. And then maybe they'll have Just ketchup or something. I don't know. Although that's vegan anymore.
They do have many, many products, and they're planning to create products to invade the center of the store. So
great.
Baking mixes and things like that.
Well, Jeannie, I think thanks for the news story. Now, you know, I just wanted to talk a little bit about something that happened to me and how it relates to some things I've been thinking about with regard to animal rights. So today I was riding my bike in beautiful Chico. It's sunny. It's a spring day. I mean, it's in February, but, you know, we're in Chico, California.
We're in a period of climate change.
Period of climate change, you know, so we'll all be gone soon. But in the meantime, I'm riding my bicycle to help save the planet. And I'm riding, and it's windy, so there's a lot of wind blowing, and I was riding with my mouth open for some reason. I don't know why. And then, you know what? A bee flew right into my mouth.
Oh my gosh.
While I was riding. And, of course, I panicked, and I spit the bee out immediately, but it not before it stung my tongue. So I had a bee sting in my tongue today, which that accounts. But so I spit the bee out, and it just flew, and I don't know where it went. I didn't stop to go check and see if to perform any kind of you know, CPR on it or anything. But it got me thinking about, you know, I had a bee in my mouth, and I just spit it out and kept going, and I thought about it. I started to think about this notion of, you know, all other animals and human beings and how we think about, how we conceptualize non-human animals. And then the idea of speciesism popped into my mind. And I thought I wanted to just discuss that with you a little bit. This whole notion of speciesism. And you're familiar with speciesism?
It's come across in some of my readings, but not a whole lot. So I would like it clarified a little.
I think when we think about speciesism, and this is a term that's used very commonly in animal rights literature, and it's been around since 1970.
And we should add that it's very common in animal rights philosophy literature.
This is true.
That you yourself are an animal rights philosopher. Are you not?
This is true. Yes, this is. I'm reminded of the... are you a card-carrying member of the... Yes, and I say yes. This is like the McCarthy
guilty
hearings. But I, yes, so I do, I admit that I am a card-carrying member of the Animal Rights Philosophy Club. I am an animal rights philosopher, and I do write and speak on animal rights, and I often talk about this term speciesism when I'm giving talks, and people look at me and they scratch their head, what's speciesism? I don't know what this is. So, you know, it's, I think it's kind of an important concept to clarify, to give, to frame even the idea of our show being called Non-Human Radio. Not people will oftentimes, when I tell them we're doing a show called Non-Human Radio, they look at me kind of oddly. So I think when you think about racism, for example, you think, well, a general kind of rough definition of what racism is when you are prejudiced or biased against other human beings who you perceive as being of a different race than you. And your prejudice is usually in the form of you, they are inferior. So you, if you're a racist, you think your, whatever your race is the superior race. The other races, they're inferior, and they could be inferior in many different ways. Cognitively inferior, morally inferior, physically inferior, but there's an inferiority. So when we think about racism, we think about clear cases of racism. For example, if I discriminate on you, discriminate against you in renting an apartment from me because of your race, we say that's racism. The same thing with sexism. If I want to hire someone for a job, but I refuse to hire, say, a woman, that's a clear case of sexism. So philosophers, ethicists, animal rights people have developed this notion, going back to Richard Rider and Peter Singer in the 1970s, had developed this notion of speciesism. So if you understand the basics of racism, which is pretty clear, and sexism, which is pretty clear, speciesism is the notion, is the following notion. And that is, it's the belief, the bias, the prejudice that says that members of one's own species, we are superior to all the other animals. So when we think about a particular interaction with an animal, say, you know, my bee that was in my mouth today, or we think about experimenting, say, on chimpanzees and car crash tests, and we say, well, why is it okay to experiment on these kinds of animals? Or why is it okay to eat a pig because it tastes good? And the response is, well, it's just an animal and it's not a human, right? And the notion that it's just an animal represents this kind of human exceptionalism, this notion that humans are superior. And this is this at the foundation of this is this notion of speciesism. So the bottom line is this, is animal rights philosophers, when they look at and they analyze these relations between humans and animals, we always try to look and see if there's some kind of speciesism going on. So when we give a justification for treating animals differently than humans, and I don't mean by this, some people say to me, oh, you think animals should be equal? That means what? We should have pigs getting driver's licenses and cows, you know, going to vote. And no, that's not, it's not ridiculous. The sense in which species are equal is the sense that non-human animals can suffer to the same degree and extent that humans can. And so in the case, for example, of experimenting on either a chimp or a human being, when we ask, why is it okay to experiment on the chimp? If we say, because they're just an animal, then we're being speciesist. In the same way that historically and sadly in the United States, there have been medical experiments, for example, the Tuskegee experiments, in which African-American Air Force men were not treated for syphilis, and we look back on that and say, obviously that was racist because they treated the white soldiers. In the same kind of sense of a bias, not that they're exactly analogous, but in the same sense we have speciesism. And that sort of speciesism is the foundation for a lot of the animal rights, the acknowledgement of speciesism is the foundation for a lot of animal rights philosophy and kind of arguments of animal equality and ultimately things like veganism. So what do you think of that, Jeannie?
I think that's an excellent insight into what speciesism is. And I think the thing that struck me is that in this support for non-human animals, it is us humans who have the responsibility to speak for and act for these voiceless mm-hmm. beings in our society.
Right.
Like the pig and the chimp, they can't speak for themselves.
Right.
They rely on objective humans to speak on their behalf.
Right. Well, I mean, they can't exactly speak for themselves, but they sure can try to run away. So, I mean, that does say a lot. When I'm trying to get a chimpanzee and put him in a cage and he wants to run away, it doesn't exactly need to have articulated English to tell me that he doesn't want to go in the cage. So.
I can say that, but I can also say that they tend to mention how much animals suffer.
Yes.
And we tend to ignore, at least I haven't heard that much on the philosophy side of philosophers talking about the joy that animals feel.
Good point.
And that actually is more relevant to more of us average humans,
right,
who have pet dogs and cats and,
yes,
and birds. And our relationships with our companion animals are based on joy and,
true,
mutual joy if it's a good relationship.
That's a great point. And, you know, the Jonathan Balcom at the Humane Society, he works on animal pleasure and joy. So, well, in case you just tuned in, you're tuned into Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM Chico and worldwide at kzfr.org. Well, guess what? It's that time. It's time for the vegan-friendly restaurant pick of the week. Over to you, Jeannie, in the KZFR Vegan Restaurant Review Newsroom.
All right, here I am. My vegan-friendly restaurant pick of the week is Midtown Local, which is a little cafe on 6th Street near the Pageant Theater. They opened back in 2014 in the space where the old Cafe Flow used to be, next around the corner from the Pageant Theater. It's a small, cozy place with limited seating and a nice patio in the back, and they have a vegan section on their menu, which is so great to see. It has vegan sandwiches in it, including my go-to item for lunch or brunch, which is a vegan BLT on a bagel. For the rest of the menu, as with so many places in Chico, you have to be sure to notify your server that you're vegan and then request the appropriate modifications for the item you want to order clearly and sweetly, and make sure that the server understands what your request is. Otherwise, you'll be sending back the salad that has cheese in it or something. One of the items I really like is the Greek salad there, which after you tell them to leave out the feta cheese, it's a big, tasty salad with artichoke hearts, Kalamata olives, cucumbers and tomatoes, and a really tasty dressing. So I recommend that item. And then there's a nice pizza section. There's one of the pizza items is called the Humboldt, and that's nice. They can sub in Daya cheese for $2 extra, and it has kale, mushrooms, red onion, and a nice drizzle with balsamic and blackberry reduction all over the top. It's a beautiful pizza.
Yum. Yeah. Yum, yum.
And then they also serve breakfast, which is just a tofu scramble called the Annie's Glen. So, yeah, you can't go wrong with that. Midtown Local can be found at 365 East 6th Street between Orion and Flume, around the corner from the Pageant Theater. They're open every day of the week with varying hours, so call 530-966-0054 for more info. And you can also check out the Chico Vegan Restaurant page for other intelligence on vegan dining options in Chico. Robert, back to you.
Thanks, Jeannie. You're tuned to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico, and worldwide at kzfr.org. Well, it's time for the Non-Human Radio Weekly Calendar of Events. I'm going to throw it back to you, Jeannie, over in the KZFR Vegan Events Newsroom.
Oh, no. Here I am. Okay. We just have two items on the calendar today. Save the date for February 27th. It's the Chico Vegan Potluck Library Community Room. So we ask people just to bring a delicious homemade or store-bought 100% plant-based dish, and there will be about 30 or so fellow vegans enjoying a hearty and delectable vegan meal. The theme of this month's potluck, is breakfast for dinner. The Chico Library is located at 1108 Sherman Avenue in Chico on First Avenue, down the street from Bidwell Perk. And potluck guidelines are posted online at chicovegan.com. And then the other item that's upcoming is the 5th Annual Conscious Eating Conference, which will be in the Brower Center in Berkeley, California, on Saturday, March 19th. The conference is organized by United Poultry Concerns, which is a wonderful group that advocates on behalf of the 9 billion chickens slaughtered every year in the U.S., and that doesn't count the hens that are trapped in battery cages. The conference features a great lineup of speakers, including my co-host, Robert Jones. What are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be giving a talk called How Not to Be Vegan.
Oh, that's going to get a lot of attention.
Yeah, and next week, if you tune in, I'll tell you a little bit more about what that talk's going to be about.
Sounds good. So you can register for the conference at upc-online, upc.org. That's UPC, United Poultry Concerns, upc-online.org. And registration is free for students and reasonably priced for everyone else. If you have an event that you'd like included in our weekly calendar of events, please send an email to nonhumanradio@gmail.com. Thanks. I hope to see you around town.
Oh, thanks, Jeannie. Well, it looks like we're just about out of time for this week's show, but not before our animal rights subversive thought of the week.
Our animal rights subversive thought of the week is, it's not about humanizing them, it's about recognizing them, by Carol Lordenschiler.
Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. We'd like to thank our engineer, Sue Hildebrand.
Yay, Sue.
Yo.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are entirely those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and do not in any way reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff. If you missed any portion of this show, or you just want to listen again or have your friends and family listen, visit us online at nonhumanradio.com. And be sure to stay tuned for The Real Issue with Sue Hildebrand. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.